Hi, I'm Sean Sutner, news and feature writer for Search Health IT. Welcome to a new episode of the Hit Squad podcast series.
And I'm Kristen Lee, news writer for Search Health IT.
Okay, so this week we're going to talk about some stories we've already published on our website, searchhealthit.com, some stories we're working on, some news developments in the health IT world, and some conferences we'll be attending in the next few weeks. So, Kristen, you and I recorded the first ever video version of the Hit Squad podcast series a couple of weeks ago. That was, we really talked exclusively about a tech target survey about purchasing intentions in health IT. We found out security, compliance, interoperability were the top things. Then after that, data analytics and things like that are the top drivers of change in buying plans in healthcare organizations. So did you enjoy making the video? And do you think it was a good way to communicate that information? And to the healthcare CIOs you talked to seem to agree with most of the survey's conclusions.
Yeah, well, it was definitely different for us. I mean, we're used to being here in the podcast studio. Nobody's really looking at us, and we kind of just chat, and it's very relaxed. It's definitely different when there's kind of a camera pointing at you. But I thought it was good. I thought it was a good way to, I mean, because we had graphics that we showed, so it's easier to do that with video than it is to, you know, kind of just talk about it. It definitely makes it more interesting. But in terms of the results and CIOs I've talked to, it definitely seems like CIOs, the top kind of thing that's on their mind is definitely security. I mean, we've said this before, but, you know, with the ransomware attacks and all these different attacks, it seems like everybody's thinking about how that they can create a robust cybersecurity plan, what technologies they should and need to be using, how they're going to train their staff, all that stuff. So in my interviews with CIOs, that definitely seems to be something that's on their mind. And Sean, so what's your favorite story that you've been working on lately?
Well, just in that same theme of cybersecurity and compliance, I did a HIPAA audit protocol story. Now, it's kind of an incremental process in the HIPAA audits, but what OCR did, the Office for Civil Rights of HHS, is published this huge protocol, but it's like an open book test for healthcare organizations and business associates. It tells them exactly what they need to do every step of the way, and it's key to the relevant statute in the HIPAA legislation. Now, the only thing is, what they need to do isn't easy. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's clear what it is they need to do now, but it's pretty complicated, especially for smaller physician practices. And also, this new audit protocol, there was an audit protocol published halfway through the pilot audits in 2012 and 2013, but this one here reflects the HIPAA omnibus rule of 2013. Oh. So it includes all instructions for business associates, including cloud hosting providers.
Oh, interesting.
So for the first time, this audit protocol includes all the organizations that store and hold health data, not just use it. So they're subject to HIPAA now.
Do you think that having those protocols will put providers more at ease in terms of using the cloud now that, you know, it seems like OCR is directly addressing?
Yeah, I mean, yes. I mean, there's nothing in HIPAA that, you know, prevents cloud by any means.
Right.
But cloud providers are now explicitly, if they do business with healthcare organizations, they're explicitly bound by HIPAA. Mm-hmm. Okay. So healthcare providers have to have very detailed business associate agreements in place with their cloud providers. Mm-hmm. They can't just assume that the data, their health data, is just stored safely offsite in the cloud. That organization has to be ready to prove that it has done a risk assessment, that it's using encryption or whatever it is to protect the data at rest and in motion back and forth with the organization.
Right. Interesting.
So, so what about you, Kristen? Any stories or videos really that you enjoyed working on recently?
Yeah. Well, I mean, one story that I'm working on right now that will probably be published maybe next week or so is about EHRs. When I was at HIMSS 2016 in Vegas back in March, I made it a point to ask CIOs kind of about their experience with EHR integration and implementation, just you know, what kind of challenges they had experienced and how they overcame them. And I got some very interesting tidbits. You know, I talked to one CIO who said that his organization was actually using both Epic and Cerner. And obviously they had an issue in terms of trying to get those two to talk to each other because they just don't. So their solution was to create their own software to create that interoperability between the two EHRs. And another CIO I talked to who was also experiencing interoperability issues, his sort of idea for a solution was using a state HIE as kind of like the central plumbing that data could flow through. So that way, it doesn't matter, you know, all the hospitals that are connected to that HIE, it doesn't matter what EHR they're using, you can still share data.
One question, did they have to have a UN peacekeeping forces on hand for this Epic and Cerner?
Epic Cerner. No, it seems like...
They get along, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, them, this hospital, they created this in-house software to make that interoperability possible. So they kind of just, you know, went around about a little bit. But it seemed to work. So, so I'm writing a story on that. I think that's pretty interesting.
You are going to Data Palooza. I love the name of that conference, by the way.
I just
have to say that. So what can we expect out of that really fun, interestingly named event?
I think, you know, all things data, like in the name. But currently I'm trying to set up some interviews with various people. One of them is Jocelyn Samuels, so hopefully I can snag her. She's the HHS's Office of Civil Rights director, and I'm hoping to talk to her about the HIPAA audits and kind of just asking her, you know, from what you know, what should CIOs know in terms of the upcoming HIPAA audits and what can they do to be really prepared. So I haven't quite nailed that down yet, but I'm working on that. Other than that, my kind of goal for this conference is just to get a general feel for the sense of the state of data in healthcare. You know, where is it at now and where do all these health IT experts think it's going to go? So we'll see what I get from that. And yeah, there'll be more stories on that.
Well, one thing about Data Palooza, though, is you had mentioned earlier before we started recording this, but it's always a big forum for government officials from CMS, from ONC. Now I expect, given what happened yesterday when CMS and ONC jointly announced what basically amounts to the end of meaningful use for, mm-hmm. at least for physicians and physician practices, because they're replacing meaningful use with MACRA and MIPS, with merit-based incentive performance system,
mm-hmm.
and other sort of ACO-based reimbursement systems based on health outcomes and sort of the same kind of things ACOs have been doing for a while. So they announced that yesterday in a conference call to reporters, and they filed the preliminary rulemaking notice in the Federal Register. And so I expect that they're going to be on the offense at Data Palooza explaining how all these big changes, and they sort of intimated that hospitals will be next. It's not part of this current change in meaningful use.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing about this is that while they're changing what physicians have to attest to, it's not so much electronic health records, but you know how they're using them to produce better health outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still using ONC certified software from vendors, EHR software. So that part of meaningful use is not changing at all.
Mm-hmm.
ONC still has to certify all this software. And so there's the 2015 edition. And the government officials are going to have to explain to everybody how one part of meaningful use is dead, the other part is still here, what's changing. There's a new provision now that applies to both hospitals and physicians that requires them to attest that they are not information blocking. And so that is sort of going to really piss off a lot of the big providers, I bet,
because mm-hmm.
They have to go, I don't know exactly the steps yet, but they have to prove that they're not information blocking. So I think that'll take up a lot of Data Palooza because everybody's buzzing about that now.
Yeah.
I'm going to a show right after you get back. I'm going to the American Telemedicine Association. I was thinking of attending it virtually, but I thought I'd go in person instead.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm not sure if that worked. The big things at ATA are, the biggest thing is that more and more states are making it legal, mm-hmm. okay, except for Texas. And it looks like there's some signs that Texas might reverse its decision to sort of, heavily restrict telemedicine. So the big thing is with so many states now allowing it that it's easier to make money in telemedicine. So virtual visits are getting really big, and remote patient monitoring is huge. So using either video telemetry or other kinds of hardware like wearables, in addition to virtual video visits, hospital systems can track at-risk populations better. So everybody's got a new remote monitoring system. So that's mm-hmm. one thing I'll be looking at. And anything else going on? Do you like your new cube? We moved cubes.
Yeah, I do. Okay. I do. But you have moved twice so far and have another move on the way since your cube is not quite ready for you yet.
Yep, I have. My motto is "Have boxes, will travel."
Nice.
Well, anyway, thank you all for listening, and this wraps up another edition of the Hip Squad. It's been real. Thanks for listening. Talk to you later.
Bye.